when she's not here, you miss her because she's, praise God, amen, Pastor, you know. That, yeah. How many knows that makes a difference? Makes a difference. Makes a difference. The more you act like you like it, the better I preach. Okay? And the quicker I do. Okay, so today we appreciate everybody being here. Tina, and especially your cousin and everybody else who brought somebody. I saw today some people who just recently gave their life to Jesus. They're back with us today. So that's a big deal. It's a big deal. Big deal. All right. So this morning we're going to look in the Word of God. And I want everybody to tell me that you'll be with me today and hang with me, okay? Stay with me, all right? Stay with me. I also like to, I don't think Steve's listening, but I know he called his mom, told Sister Pam and Steve, Big Steve, that he was wishing them a good day, and he's in connecting and contact. God gave mercy and grace over the legal issue and in his case. So God was good, and you know, it may not be the best, but we believe it's God's best, right? So how many knows that your best and God's best, two different worlds, okay? So we want God's best, right? We want God's best. And I appreciate Steve and appreciate this family, Sister Becky and Dale. I know you all been through the war, but you're back with us today. Good to have you all back with us. Amen. Glad. Now, I'd like for you to go with me today into the Word of God. All right. Everybody ready? I don't want to, because I'm going to throw out a medical term here. I want to make sure. I did get the pronunciation of it, but I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to slice up a really good medical term, okay? Tell me what that. You're too young to act like that.
Narcolepsy.
Narcolepsy. Okay. How many's ever heard of the word narcolepsy? Let me ask again, okay? How many's ever heard the word narcolepsy? Okay. Listen, sleep is an interesting thing. We all need it. How many knows we all need sleep? If you go through sleep deprivation, then your body will tell on you. Up the road or down the road, your body will cry out to you and say, you're not getting enough sleep. Because the body, the human body, was made to rest. It was made to work, but it's made to rest. We need to sleep. How many knows that we need sleep? Yes. Scott, you need your Z's, okay? We need our Z's. We need, a good solid sleep and rest. And, you know, there's different people here. I know without a doubt, and I've not polled this, but I know without a doubt that there are people in this room right now presently that I am talking to that struggle with sleep issues. Oh, now act like you're all together. Oh, I'm the perfect specimen of a human being, Pastor. I sleep, I eat good, I sleep good, I rest good, I exercise, I go to body and soul every week, and I'm all about it. So how many will be honest with me this morning, be real, and say, there have been times in my life I've struggled with sleep issues? Okay, the rest of you is not going to raise your hand at all, okay? I get that. That's okay. There are people who suffer from a real medical term called narcolepsy, which is an interesting thing. It's not a good thing, but it's an interesting thing. It's the inability or struggle to maintain wakefulness throughout the daytime. In other words, the time you should be awake is the time you're sleeping. Do you understand that? Well, you know, Grandma used to say they got their days and nights mixed up. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You all got to get with me today. Get with me. You get your days and nights mixed up. Bethany, I don't know if you've ever had your, you know, how many knows, if you don't think that that's irritating, how many knows that your babies, your infants, your newborns can get their clock mixed up? Oh, yeah, that'll make one out of you. Jenny had, she had colic when she was a baby. I don't know, some of you probably never even heard that term before. That means kids just don't sleep, especially at night. They cry with a bellyache. And listen, I remember Kathy and I taking shifts. And I was teaching school, and me having to get up early in the morning to go to teach, and it would be my night. I remember, Allison, I remember me sitting on the side of the bed, my eyes so heavy that I couldn't hardly hold them open. And I was just sitting there with little baby Jenny like this. I say, Jesus, please help her go to sleep. Jesus, please help her go to sleep. Come on, do you know what I'm talking about? Sing her a lullaby, say, do anything. Oh, thank you. We actually got out and put her in the vehicle and would drive countless miles just in hopes that this little baby that just cried all the time would somehow go to sleep. Come on, speak it out. All right, wait a minute. Nobody online can hear a word you're saying. It's just like a big blank, okay? Come on.
We would wear ourselves out. I mean, we would absolutely be worn out. The child didn't sleep till she was 6 weeks old. And we would, about midnight, we would do everything we knew to do, but the car calmed her. So we would get her in the car, and we would drive around, and she would almost snore. You know how the little baby sounds so sweet? And he would get her out of the car seat and gently take her in, and the moment you laid her down, it was, wah!
Just hang on to that.
And she suffered nonetheless, but we really suffered.
Yeah. Come on, any real people here today? Quit acting like you got it all together, okay? Come on, we've been through it. You've been through it, right? You've been through it. Some of you adults still struggle. We struggle at times with sleep issues. And some, there can be physical things, but most of the times it's mental or emotional things that taxi us. So it's what we need. We do need to sleep. We do need to rest. But narcolepsy is the physical ability, the disability to not be able to rest or sleep, because in the daytime, you're sleeping. Listen, people will be eating dinner and go to sleep. The danger is people can drive their car and go to sleep. How many understands what I'm talking about? There is a time you need to be awake. There is a time you need to rest. Spiritually speaking, this is a time that you need to be awake. There's five people got that. Where's the rest of you? I had your attention on, yay, yay, yay. And then I said, spiritually, there is a time that we all need to be alert and awake. We got to be our best. You can't drive down a busy highway with a narcoleptic disorder in your body, and then suddenly find yourself asleep, going off the road or running into somebody else. Because at that time, you should have been awake, but you were really asleep. Spiritually speaking, as far as the world concerned and where we are, spiritually, where we are in our life and where we are as a church and where we are as people, this is a time that we need to be awake. This is a time that you need to be at your best. This is a time where praise needs to be awake. This is a time where the Word of God needs to be awake. This is a time your dreams need to be awake. This is a time where your work needs to be awake. So you can give God your best. You can't give someone your best if you're asleep. If you're asleep, if you... This is no time to sleep. Oh, well, I'm going somewhere, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But now we've crossed the place of no return. We got to keep going. How many knows you got to keep going? Yes. Narcolepsy is a sleep disorder with sudden, uncontrollable spells of daytime sleep and disturbances of nighttime sleep. In other words, the nighttime keeps you awake, and then it engages you in the daytime desire to sleep. You find sudden yourself, if you just get a still moment, it's sleep time. How many knows what I'm talking about? Sitting at your computer, trying to engage in the Word of God, trying to pray. Yes. Oh, I've had people, when I've been talking to them, Bobby, go to sleep. Listen, I know that my voice don't put people to sleep. Come on, are you with me? I know that my voice don't put people to sleep. Nothing about my voice would put anybody to sleep. It might wake the dead, but it ain't gonna put anybody to sleep. Thank you, Billy. See, that was your time to say amen. There's a time that we need to be asleep. There's a time that we need to be awake. This is the time, Paul said, it's high time. High time means it needs to be peak time. This is the time on the earth. This is the time in the church. This is the time in your spiritual walk that you have got to be awake, alert, and aware of everything that's going on. Paul says, unless you be overtaken, unless you're slumbering and sleeping. And remember last week we talked about the snake charming, putting things to sleep, putting his prey to sleep. There is a spirit today active on the earth. And for a while it's been active, it's been engaged, putting people into a hypnotic state of slumber where it's just like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if I go to church. I don't care if I don't go to church. I don't care if I praise. I don't care if I don't praise. I don't care if I read the Bible. I don't care if I don't read the Bible. There is something wrong, and that's called spiritual narcolepsy, because we need to be awake. Everybody shout, wake up! I might be saying something here I shouldn't be saying. So I'm not a big song person, but not in the modern songs. So there's no way I'm going to call out a song. But this one, and there's a song, Sal, back in the 50s, 60s, called Wake Up, Little Susie. If that's a bad song, I don't remember the lyrics, but if it is, forgive me, okay? I didn't mean anything bad by it. But this is the time to wake up, church. This is a time for your marriage to wake up. This is a time for your relationship to wake up. This is a time for your dream to wake up. This is the time for your hopes to wake up. This is the time, dreamer, wake up. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to preach you happy whether you're happy or not. I'm going to keep preaching till it rattles your cage. Now, Miss Selena, you don't go up here and do all that 5:30 in the morning Marine Corps type hardcore workout. But listen, she's not going to get up here and lead that, and you all sitting back there. Hey, come on. Come on. How can you sleep when big things are going on? How can you go to sleep when something big is going on? Do you know there's something big going on in this planet today? Let me tell you one thing. Jesus is coming. Let him catch you asleep. Wake up. There's other big things going. God is moving upon the planet. Whether he's moving in your life or not, he is moving. He is saving the lost. He is setting the captive free. He is breaking chains of addiction. He's rescuing broken marriages. He's putting lives back together. Whether you know it or not, Jesus is alive. He's awake. You know what the book of Isaiah said? It says of the Lord, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. You'd be in trouble if God went to sleep on you. Oh, Jesus, I need you. Oh, Jesus, I need you. And God be, I don't have time. I'm too sleepy. Oh, come on, be real. When you needed him and you called on him and he'd be asleep, you'd be in a heap of trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I'm thankful today that he neither slumbers or sleeps. Michelle, he's got a 24/7 hotline open, amen. You can go to him. Hallelujah. Even if you don't have a need, you can go to him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, this is going somewhere. Hang on. Oh, hang on, Snoopy, hang on. So it's a sleep disorder with sudden uncontrollable spells of daytime sleep and disturbances of nighttime sleep. And it goes on. Narcoleptics can fall asleep anywhere at any time. They have no problem going to sleep. They have no problem going to sleep. We used to know a family, brother and sister Wise. She went through this thing in her later years. Before she deceased, before she passed on, that it was very disturbing because she went to the doctor for it. She just slept all the time. She just wanted to sleep all the time. You ever read been a teacher, and I'm not really a reading literature teacher. There might be some of you here specialized in that, but I do know a story. Maybe it's a Grimm's fairy tale. I'm not sure. Sleeping Beauty. Has anybody ever heard of the story Sleeping Beauty? I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to teach you or preach on fables or Grimm's fairy tales. But I'm going to say this is more. In that fairy tale, there was a design to take her out. And so there was a witch that came up with a plan. The plan was to get her to spin. Come on, you with me today? You never heard that story? Come on, I'm just telling you a little. I'm not preaching the story. I'm just telling you a little story. It's going somewhere. So what happened is she did the very thing she didn't want to do. She got pricked in the finger by that venom or whatever it was in that needle, and then it put a spell on her and she went to sleep, and she slept for years. She slept a long time, a long time, a long time. Listen, church, we've been asleep a long time. It's time to get up. This is your day to get up. Get your praise up. You don't need to be sitting in here with your hands in your pocket, your arms folded. You're going to heaven. You're going somewhere. You're on your way to somewhere. Then you praise God like you're going somewhere. I'm going to ask you a question, propose a question here to you. You think when you get to heaven and you look up on Jesus, you're going to be sitting there like this? Whoa! When you put your eyes upon him, your spirit, your perfected body will know nothing to do but give him total praise. Come on! Are you with me today? Whoa. Can you imagine now playing basketball as well as you play basketball, Hunter, as well as you play football, any other athlete in here? Imagine if you would playing on the court and this was the last shot, last play of the game, and the coach said, give it to Jill, and they hand the ball off to you. Are you with me? Do you know this is the last play of the game? God's handing something off to you. He did that 2,000 years ago. He handed his word off to you. He handed his power, his spirit, and his authority off to you. Don't sleep when you need to be awake. Are you with me today? Any of you asleep? Turn around and look at somebody. If somebody's sleeping, give them an elbow and say, wake up. Oh, some of you didn't like that. Stop. Oh. Narcoleptics can fall asleep anywhere. The idea of falling asleep at the wrong time brings a lot of perplexities to our world, especially our spiritual world. We need to be awake when great things, big things are happening. We need to be awake. This is the time for you to be awake. This is a time for your spirit to be awake. This is a time for your... There's nothing the devil would like to do more than to rock you to sleep or put a spell on you, put you in some kind of spiritual trance where you're walking around and you really don't care. You really don't care. You see it, but you don't really care enough to move to action. There's something wrong with that picture. When we see things happening and it doesn't stir us or move us to action, and we're just walking around sleepwalking. How many's ever known somebody who sleepwalks? Few people. Oh, come on. Listen, this is a real problem. And some of you adults in here, moms and dads, you know it's a problem. Maybe you had that problem, where you wake up and suddenly you hear things moving around the house, and one of your kids in the refrigerator, or one of your kids is going outside, and listen, and you get up to them, and they look at you with a glaze like they don't know what's going on. Their body was in action, but their mind was asleep. Listen, such is the world today. Do you hear what I'm saying? Their bodies are in motion, but their minds are asleep. There's a problem. There's a problem. They shout, wake up. See, you all thought the other day, shoo, I'm glad we got through that one. I don't like that one. This is part two. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. Falling asleep at the wrong time is a problem. And there's a mandate. There's a proclamation to the church, to the world today. Wake up. It is high time. As Paul said, wake up out of your sleep. And the light of the wonderful glory of Jesus will give you light. Give you life. Amen. We need life. We need life. We need life in us. Our worship needs life. Our walk before God needs life. How can you inspire others to embrace what you have if you're walking around asleep? Nobody wants that. If you walk around like you've got something going on inside you, then somebody else is going to say, I want what you got. Help me find what you got. Oh, I'm in the honey bucket right now. Let me read a scripture to you. Joel 3, 9 through 10 in the King James Version. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, those that are not connected to God. Prepare war. Prepare war. It's hard to prepare if you're asleep. It's hard to have preparedness if you're asleep. When reveille is blown in those camps in our military, it's time for those warriors to awaken, get their gear on, and get ready for the battlefield. Blow you the trumpet in Zion. Sound his alarm in my holy hills. How many knows that God is blowing a trumpet in Zion? And a lot of people are ignoring it. Ignoring it. Ignoring it. Ignoring it. He says, proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Oh, let me go back to that again. Wake up the mighty men, the men of war. Wake up the mighty men. I'm talking to mighty men and women of God today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking to destiny. I'm talking to purpose. I'm talking to dreamers. I'm talking to builders. I'm talking to leaders. I'm talking to people who have this powerful quality and giftedness inside your spirit. But you're walking around unaware of what's going around on in the world. When I see the things going on in the world right there, that's going on today, it sends a wake-up call deep down in my spirit. That God is shifting. God's getting ready for things. God's getting ready for things. God's getting ready for things. Are you ready for what he's ready for? This is your day. Wake up, warrior. Wake up, man and woman of God. Wake up. Wake up, dreamers. We got dreams to live. We got visions to carry forth. God called us to this mountain. God called us this place. We've been hit on every side by every kind of demonic horde that you can imagine. And a a lot of people will have thought we've been left for dead. But no, because, oh, sleeper, amen. How many of those are something inside you that's bigger than what's going on outside you? I said there's something inside you bigger than what's going on around you. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to sleep. Wake up your praise. Wake up your worship. Wake up the word of God. Wake up your dream. Wake up your potential. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come, beat their plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Oh, let the weak say, I'm strong. The world said you're weak, but God says you're strong. The devil says you're lost, a lost cause. You're nobody. You're a misfit. You don't belong, but God says you're my bride. You belong to me, and I'm waking the bride up. Amen. Oh, I got to bring this together real quick. Matthew 25. Oh, there were 10 virgins. They were all about it. They were all about it. They all had lamps, and they had wicks, and they had oil for their lamps. But five of those virgins slumbered and slept. They let their oil run out. Some of you sitting in this room today, you need a fresh oil in your life. You need a fresh outpouring in your life. You need freshness in your prayer life. You need freshness in your worship life. You need freshness in your witness life. But they let their oil run out. They slumbered and they slept. Wake the slumbering spirit. Wake the slumbering spirit. Awake the slumbering spirit. Awaken the slumbering spirit. Holy Ghost of God, awaken the slumbering spirit. Awaken the slumbering spirit. Oh. And then at midnight the cry was made. And the groom came looking for his bride. You know what? Jesus is looking for his bride today. Where are you? Are you in bed fast asleep? Are you awake and prepared, ready? Oh, to engage the living God. Engage opportunities today. Every day I wake with a new opportunity. Somebody said, I just wish God would move in my life. Oh, well, let me tell you. Sit down with me for 5 minutes. I'll tell how you that can happen with you, okay? You first got to get awake. Open your eyelids. Back to that fairy tale. She slept until a prince heard her demise. And he came to her. And with a kiss, he broke the spell. Do you know today the word of God says that his kisses fall upon us to awaken us? Oh, there's nothing like nobody. Oh, can I do this? I know it may be appropriate. There is nothing like the kiss of love to awaken your heart and your spirit. Every morning, God gets me up and he gives me that kiss. So this is a new day. This is a day I have made, child. This is a day that I have made. I've given you the opportunities of this day. Neither slumber nor sleep. I know you work hard. You go. Miss Amanda brings to mind also how the other night she She came to midweek service, and she came when she was first working. She got off work, and she went all the way back to St. Paul. Reminded me of Gerald Trish, what they used to do over in Clintwood. They went all the way back there, and then she got her family together and come all the way back here. How many knows that that is not a sleep? Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Something going on, Pastor. Something going on. I can't explain it. I don't know what it is, but something is going on. Turn to somebody and say, something's going on. I want to be awake to see what's going on, don't you? I want to be awake to see what's going on. For I'm strong. They slumbered and they slept. And when the cry was made, they had no oil. Five of the foolish virgins let their oil run out, and they didn't go prepare. This is a time where your oil needs to be filled. You drive to California on 2 quarts low, I promise you, you won't go very far, okay? Because listen, you've got something in your engine called viscosity. And that's the wear and tear upon that engine. And you've got to have that oil inside your engine at all times so you can lubricate those pistons and those valves, and so things will work in your life. The anointing breaks the yoke. You need the anointing of the Holy Ghost on your life to increase your viscosity against the wear and tear of this world on your life, against the hurt, the bad news, the burden for my child of not knowing where he is always. Because he's my baby, Pastor. He's our baby. I brought him into this world. I held him like you did Jenny there. We had good days and we had bad days. And I loved him. I poured into him. Now I'm not with him anymore. And that mess is with me. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many knows you know? You need that oil. You need that oil. And so when the cry was made, they tried to get oil from the others and said, we only have enough for us. You're not going to get there on your mommy and daddy's anointing. You're not going to get there on the pastor's anointing. You're not going to get there over the youth leaders, youth pastor's anointing. You're not going to get there over the praise and worship leader's anointing. You're going to get there through your own anointing. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. And I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. That oil represents the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost in your life. Don't ever take that for granted. Oh, Jesus, we're coming. Bring this together right here. Oh, Jesus. All right. They weren't ready. And the cry was made. And they were left. I think, Lord, listen, if you do math there, there were 10 virgins. 5 were ready, 5 were not. Do the percentage, 50%. That's a little bit alarming when you think that maybe 50% of those who profess they know Jesus are not even ready for Jesus when it comes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I want to be a part of the 50% who is ready. Don't give it to me, preacher.
1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out. For your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Stay alert. Watch out.
Wow. How many knows what stay alert means? In other words, do what? Wake up. Wake up. This is no time to sleep. This is no time to sleep. This is no time for you to be asleep. No time for you to be asleep. I remember teaching school, and a lot of times during my planning periods, I'd be so tired. I'd come in from revivals. I'd be out to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd be so tired when I woke up at 6 o'clock that I couldn't barely go. And I remember there were times that I tried to do my devotionals, but there were times I'd be so dog tired. How many's ever been dog tired before? Some of you too refined to know what that word is. Dog tired means you're tired. That means you're tired. You don't have to ask somebody if you're tired. You're just tired. You're tired to the bone, okay? And I remember in my planning period, people coming in and waking me up. Because I'd have my head over on my desk. There'd be times in my classroom I'd be so tired. Oh, you got to be tired to sit in among a bunch of sixth graders. How many knows that? If you can go sleep with sixth graders, listen, I'll buy you a steak any day of the week if you can go to sleep with six rambunctious sixth graders. It just ain't happening. But there'll be times I'd be so tired. I just nod off. Get into a low place in the class. I just nod off. And have a little sixth grade girl say, "Mr. Reynolds, you okay?" You know what we need? We need one of these. Come on. You need one of them. That's what the Lord's been doing the last little while. He's been prodding you and shaking you so much with grace. He's saying, wake up. But I'm afraid some of you are not getting it. This is old Pastor R, you know. This is no time to be sleeping. Jonah had a mission to go to Nineveh. God called him to Nineveh. But he was reluctant. He didn't want to go preach to people he thought were heathen. And he just simply said, "No, I'm not going to do it, Lord." And he went the opposite way. God called him, but he went on vacation. Oh, well, I ain't going there. But we all need a vacation. How many knows we all need a vacation? Because remember what we said initially? We all need rest. But you don't need to rest and vacate all the time. Just messing with you. We all need it. And if the Lord blesses me, I like to have everyone every now and then. Mrs. R reminds me of that. Yeah. But it's okay. But listen, that's okay, because during those times you can refresh and rest. Understand what the principle is. The goal of motivation is to rest and relax, not wear yourself to the bone. When you come back, then you go right back in sleep mode again. How many understands? There was a time that Jesus had to go to the mountain and rest and maybe close his eyes a little bit and get with the Lord, get with the Father. There's nothing wrong. But he didn't walk around in the state of an apocalyptic state. He was awake to his mission. He was awake to his purpose. And the Bible said he let nothing keep him from his purpose. He set his eyes toward Jerusalem. And nothing stopped that purpose. And so Jonah, here he was on a ship to wherever, opposite where God told him to go. And God created a storm. I know that we blame all storms on the devil, but sometimes storms happen and God may not create them, but God will use them. How many knows that? God will use them to say, come on, baby, wake up. Wake up. I've got work for you to do. God said, I got work for you to do. So what happened is during the storm, Jonah went down below the ship and fell fast asleep. Asleep in his purpose. Asleep on his mission. Asleep in his vision. He was just out of sorts, in a narcoleptic state. Below the ship, there was a storm going on. How many knows that's not the time to be asleep? It wouldn't be for me if I was on board a ship, a cruise ship, or whatever kind of ship, and there was a huge storm. I would not be beneath the ship asleep. I wouldn't do it. I'm sorry. I'm not Jesus. You're not either. I'd be up there hanging on, whatever I could hang on. Come on, God, get me out of this. Get me out of this. Oh, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Come on, are you with me today? I need you. But Jonah was asleep on the ship. And so they told the captain, and the captain came, and they awakened Jonah because they were suspicious that there was somebody on board this ship that would cause their demise, their suffering, their storm. And probably the call in layman's term would be, while all of this is going on, Jonah, this is no time for you to be asleep. When the cry was made for those 10 virgins and 5 of them had lost their oil and the bridegroom was coming, he would say, this is no time for you to be asleep. Are you with me today? This is no time for pastors to be asleep. This is no time for ministries to be asleep. This is the time that we need to rise and shine. This is the time that our praise needs to be more exuberant than ever. This is a time where our mission needs to be more outlined and pronounced than ever. This is a time that our voice needs to be the loudest. This is a time where our love is going to be the hardest. This is a time. It's a time to awaken. And you know the story there. Jonah owned his plight, and they threw him overboard. They threw it right into his destiny and purpose. Sometimes we think that our storms are all bad, and they can be. But what they've been prone to do sometimes is throw us overboard from our life of ease into our destiny and purpose. So whatever you're going through, God will use it to get you to where you need to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Steve. Last thing. Closing right here. So much more. There's layers and layers and layers and layers and layers. Jesus was in his last hour. How many's ever heard this story? In the gospel, Jesus, his hour had come. He'd already had the Lord's table, his last supper. He'd already had his last message. He girded himself, served his disciples, already done that, and they went out from that place, and they went to a place called Gethsemane, a place of crushing. I don't like the press, but sometimes it's necessary. I don't like the crushing. I don't. What's the song? What's the song? What's the song? Come on. New wine. I can't hear you.
New wine.
New wine. Sometimes before God can do the new thing, he's got to crush the old thing. Yes. So the new thing can come out of you. Yes. In the crushing, in the pressing. Lord, you're just making new wine. You're making something new in me. How many will know that today? God's making or desires to make something new in you. What he did in Jonah, he saw a whole civilization turn to God. Even the dogs and the cats and the cows and the horses put sackcloth on. You know, they said that about George Reynolds. When my dad got saved, he was such a bad dude. He was such a bad alcoholic. Wife beater, come on. Woman chaser. He did it all. And I love my dad. And my dad knows where I'm coming from right now. He'd be sitting there right there shaking his head because this is not the end of the story. But one day in an old Methodist church, he heard the call from the Holy Ghost. He heard the call of God. He heard the call of Jesus and said, I can break your addiction. I can break this life. I can break this. I'll crush it right now, and I can bring a new thing. I can bring a new thing out of it. Yeah, I know. I know. Your old life is worth throwing away. It ain't worth a hootenanny. It ain't worth. It ain't worth. It ain't worth it. You're not worth it. But God says, I can do a new thing. And he came forward that day, that night, in that old revival. They don't have revivals like that anymore. These were shouting Methodists. Woo. I said they were shouting Methodists. Oh, Jesus, help me be nice and calm right there. But he gave his life to Jesus, and this is what they said. If God could save George Reynolds, even his dogs, his old dogs knew the difference when George came home that night. How many knows that people will see a difference in your life? Come on! If they're not seeing a difference, something is shy. You don't kick clerks in the store. You don't bless clerks out. Those poor little people, they're not responsible for that anyway. We always got on Dad. Said, Dad, quit fussing at the waitress and the cashier. They only work for this establishment. Somebody said, I don't know what statistic they had for that. Somebody said people who work at Walmart said Sunday is their worst day of working. Because these so-called Christians go through the line and they just give you know what to the clerks and the waitresses. How about going through the line and giving you a little Jesus to that person that's breaking their back and working long hours just to keep the family out of the deep waters? Come on, come on. Are you with me today? Wake up. Wake up, sleeper. Wake up. This is no time. And so Jesus, his last hour, he went, and many of the disciples stayed on the outer rim of, this is a whole different message, on the outer rim of the garden. He took his closer circle into the garden. And he said, stay here and watch and pray while I go and pray. Jesus agonized before God. He poured his soul out. He prayed so hard that his capillaries and his head broke open and mixed with his sweat glands, and drops of blood came forth from his sweating. He was in such turmoil, such agony, such purpose, such vision, that he prayed so hard. Oh, Father, let this cup pass from me. If you think Jesus was somebody who just said, yeah, I'm this big muscle Jesus, I'm going to go to the cross, just put me on the cross. No, listen, not like a lot of us Christians brag and act like. No, Jesus was a man who suffered. He was God-man. He suffered in the flesh, and he felt the pain. He felt the agony just like you and I did. But he didn't give in to it. And he prayed to his, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, it's not my plan, it's your plan. Why don't you quit wrestling with God's plan and start doing God's plan instead of your own plan? See how blessed your life will be. But the Bible says that when he came back, and he did this more than once, when he came back to that inner circle, instead of praying with him, they were all slumbering and sleeping. They had fallen asleep. Jesus said, couldn't you even just stay awake with me 1 hour? Couldn't you give me 1 hour? We go on sometimes about the length of services and the length of this and the length of that. We don't ever do that with ball games. We don't ever do that at the movie theater. We don't ever do that shopping. We don't ever do that. But somehow when it comes to serious spiritual things that we need more than anything in our life, we say the preaching was too long, the worship was too long. You need to wake up. Wake up! There is nothing better than you could do right now than what you're doing, except be in heaven. This is the closest thing you'll ever have to heaven. That's what the word says. Paul says, I want you, I'll have you set together in heavenly places. This is a heavenly place, or it should be. They fell asleep when Jesus needed them the most. When God needs you the most, we often find ourselves asleep. I'll have to be the first one to raise my hand right there. When God needed me the most, sometimes I was asleep. Sometimes I just, my worship was asleep. Sometimes my prayer life was asleep. Sometimes my purpose was asleep. Sometimes my dream was asleep. Sometimes my mission was asleep. And God says, the hour I need you the most, listen, church, is this hour. The hour Jesus needs us the most, it's now. Everybody shout now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Now. Let's throw procrastination out the door. Quit putting things off, saying we got all kinds of time. Sometimes I think people just listen to prophecy to see if they got a little more time. And Jesus says, the hour you think not. The hour you're not looking for him, he's going to come. In other words, when you're asleep, he's going to come. And so, if we're physically asleep, we got to be spiritually alert and in tune. You see what I'm saying? So today, thank you for being attentive. Thank you for being being so powerfully with it today. I'm sorry I went just a little bit more than what I thought. Honestly. Honestly, 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 honestly. Because I want you to be awake. I want you to be alert. Mrs. R and I, we pray and think upon you all the time. We don't just occasionally do that. And I'm not bragging on ourselves. I'm just saying we do. You're in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our dreams a lot. I dream with you all quite a bit. You're in my sleep. You're in my dream. Listen. Whoa, I don't know what that means, but when you lay down and you sleep about the people you're around with all the time, I don't know what that means, but that just means maybe I'm supposed to pray. Maybe I'm supposed to lift you up and encourage you. When I wake up in the morning and send somebody a message or send somebody a scripture, I know that people can't always answer those. But there's a reason I do it. I don't just do it to make you feel good. I don't do it so you'll say, well, Pastor R must like me. Or don't like me. We do it because we see what God sees in you. Wake up, warriors. Wake up, men and women of war. This is the hour. Let's all stand to our feet. I pray the wind of God, the same wind that Ezekiel called, the four winds, I pray that the wind of the Holy Spirit would breathe afresh on you. When he saw a valley full of dead bones, Jesus told Mary and Martha, said, he's not dead, he's sleeping. Oh, well, that'll preach. Some of you didn't even hear that, did you? Jesus said, Mary, Martha, he's not dead, he's just sleeping. Let's go wake him up. Oh, crazy Pastor, they're not dead, they're just sleeping. Let's go wake him up today. That's what the word wants to do. Wake you up. I remember Sister Selena. Sorry, did she go out? Okay. I remember Joe at the old church. I remember the power of God being so manifest in that tiny little building. I mean, it was wall-to-wall vibration. You could feel the walls vibrating, honestly, literally. I remember the power of the Lord falling. And our kids. I remember Tanner, the day that Tanner came to the altar and bowed his heart, and other kids. Looking back here at the Whiteys, I remember a lot of these kids. Listen, when big church was going on, listen, the Holy Spirit is not a big church, a little church. The Holy Spirit is church. The church. Whether young or old, God wants to wake you up. Young people, when you go down the hallways at your school, you walk down those hallways and you pass a teacher will turn their head, not because of the way you look, not because of what you're wearing, because they just felt something walk by. When you go in that classroom and sit down in front of that teacher ought not be impressed by what you know or what you're wearing or who you're sitting beside. They ought to be impressed because when they're sitting there, their mind is wrong to you. There's something different about that person. Because when that's happening, you don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible. You don't have to tell people they're going to hell. They know that. And there's nothing wrong at times of sharing that message. But what I'm saying is, something in your life should be so awake that it draws people to where Jesus is. Amen. Whoa, Peter walked by. Oh, Joe, I want this in my life. I want this, Scott, in my life. Peter would walk by and they put people who were lame and sick beside the road. And when Peter walked by, he cast the shadow. And everywhere that shadow hit, if it hit on a lame man, guess what? He got his leg back. If it hit on somebody who was sick, struggling, wherever that shadow hit, that person got up from where they were. Lord, I want there to be so much Jesus in my life that when I walk by, people know not that I walk by. That's Mr. Reynolds. No, I don't want them to see me. I'm nothing. Lord, I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing without you. When I walk by, I want there to be holy residue. I want there to be a shadow of his glory. When it touches people, people say, that man knows Jesus. That man's been with Jesus. When I hear praise reports coming back from you all, meeting people in the marketplaces, and they telling me, I see a big difference in so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, they just touched my life. Listen, that's the power of Jesus awakening you. Come on, let's give him praise. Come on, give him heartfelt praise. Let's bow our heads. I want that Jesus in my life. I want to be awake to that Jesus in my life. And if you're here today and things need to be awakened in you, maybe you're a dreamer. Maybe you laid your dreams down beside your nightstand and you're slumbering and sleeping. Maybe you've laid the word of God down. Maybe you've laid your prayer life down. Maybe you've laid your worship down. And occasionally you'll listen to some K-Love through the week, but listen, it don't move you like it did. Oh, listen, today you need to wake up. Wake up. Wake up, 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 wake up. And if that's you, and you're here today and you've never known Jesus, you've never given your life to him before, then something, you feel something moving in your heart right now. You know what that is? That's God awakening your purpose. You're not just here, man or woman. You're not just here. You're not just here, God's. You're here because God's trying to awaken something in you. He's trying to revive something in you. There's dreams inside you that's never been lived. There's words inside you that's never been spoken. There's songs inside you that's never been sung. There's worship inside of you that's never been given. And this is your day. This is your time. This is a time for you to be awake. This is no time to be asleep. Awake. Awaken, awaken. Awaken, 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 awaken. Awaken. And if that's you here today and God's touched your heart in this room, just slip your hand up with mine and say, pray for me, Pastor R. God bless those hands. Thank you for being real and honest today. Thank you for being real all over this room. Anybody else? Anyone else? God bless you. 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 Anyone else today? Well, be real with me. Listen, be real with me. Listen, this is a time to lay aside pride. This is time to lay aside what people think about you and be concerned about what God knows. Quit worrying about what people think. Who will like me or not like me on Facebook? Who will not like me? Who will, listen, quit worrying about what people think. Start thinking about what God thinks. And if that's you, just slip your hand up one last time. I'm going to ask. There's people already at the altar. Slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, I need to be more awake. I need to be more alert, more in tune to what Holy Spirit, what God is doing in this last day. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to flood the altars right now. One, two, three, right now. I want you to come and say, God, wake me up. Wake my dream up. Wake my purpose up.